As the initial high wears off, the inside of a methamphetamine user's brain can become a frightening place.
They can be incredibly agitated, very belligerent, a lot of acting out behavior. They can actually have visual and auditory hallucinations. They can be frankly delusional and believe things to be true when they're absolutely not.
That's Dr. P.J. Malin, a psychiatrist at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Malin treats patients who come into the hospital with psychiatric symptoms, many of them triggered by meth use. She says patients often come in after an overdose or a bad trip sends their mental function into a tailspin.
For example, we had a client not too long ago run into our emergency room naked and thought he was on fire and being chased by the devil. And indeed, he was not on fire. And of course, there was nobody with him. But he was absolutely delusional and paranoid that he was on fire and being chased by the devil, and he had ripped all of his clothes off.
A medical workup found nothing wrong with the man, except for the presence of meth in his system. Of course, methamphetamine doesn't just make users feel bad. In fact, the high from the drug is so powerfully positive, some users can't think about anything else after experiencing it just one time. Barbara Rebentisch is a substance abuse counselor at the state women's prison in York. She says one of her tasks in working with addicts is to help them understand how meth works on their brains.
It's like dumping a bucket of water, turning it upside down. It dumps all of the feel-good chemicals inside the brain out in one fell swoop. And so there's just that positive rush, unlike anything else in life. And they spend the rest of their lives chasing after what that first-time experience was.
That was the experience for 23-year-old Amber Beecher, who recently served time at the prison for dealing meth. Beecher says the first time she tried it, she was immediately hooked.
I don't think it really was a choice. It was a choice, but I think it just kind of all came at me at once. I just didn't even realize what I was doing. I thought I could control it and everything would be okay, and that wasn't the case at all.
Some of the feel-good chemicals affected by meth use include dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, and other neurotransmitters that help the brain regulate critical activities like mood, memory, and movement. Dr. Todd Stoll works with patients at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. He says a meth high involves massive amounts of dopamine, many times what would typically be released in response to pleasurable experiences like good food or sex. Stoll says the dopamine then goes out into other areas of the brain, reinforcing that positive sensation.
And now you associate an experience with an emotion that goes along with it. Wow, this feels great. I'm on top of the world.
Of course, not everyone gets hooked after just one try. The experience of using meth and its level of addictiveness varies depending on an individual's brain chemistry. While many first-time users feel euphoric, Stoll says others find it overstimulating and agitating. And Stoll says the flood of dopamine triggered by meth can poison the dopamine transmission system, damaging the brain's ability to feel pleasure in the future. Stoll says between the brain damage they suffer and the bad habits they form, recovering meth users often have to relearn how to deal with basic life challenges.
The mechanism of coping often turns to drug use. I can't handle this. I'm going to go, smoke some meth, or I'm going to go drink. And helping them to deal with painful emotions, not only painful emotions at the time, but now all the painful emotions that have been created as a result of their drug use.
Dealing with the fallout from a meth addiction requires intensive treatment, followed by a long-term commitment. Stoll says 30-day treatment programs often just aren't long enough for users to break the cycle of addiction. The best rates of success are seen with programs that have patients working with counselors for 15 months or more. P.J. Malin, the Creighton University psychiatrist, says Nebraska is sorely lacking in the kinds of inpatient drug treatment programs critical to helping users kick their meth habits.
The notion in smaller towns is if we get to the bigger city, help will be available, and unfortunately it just isn't. So we have folks coming from rural areas to try to access treatment, to put their methamphetamine use behind them and start the journey to recovery. And whether you're from Omaha or a tiny community of 500 in a rural Nebraska setting, there's just a paucity of care available.
Malin says many methamphetamine users are discharged from the hospital straight to home with little more than the address of a 12-step group for support. But the need for intensive treatment is only increasing. Based on the growing number of meth-related admissions to her hospital over the past 2 years, Malin believes the drug is gaining momentum in Nebraska. And she says 90% of drug-related admissions are related to meth, up from only about half 5 years ago. Malin says most people aren't ready to kick the habit until they hit rock bottom.
But it's difficult when you've hit rock bottom to have the energy and the drive, the capacity to get yourself up on your feet. And so it's one thing to hit rock bottom and say, I'm ready now to embrace the notion of sobriety and full recovery, but I need the help of people around me to help get me up on my feet.
Malin says that means meth users need more than just professional treatment alone. They also need a strong support system. And that, she says, can come from friends and family, colleagues, religious leaders, and others willing to help a user stay on the road to recovery. For NET Radio News, I'm Sarah McCammon.